Welcome to our Agile Tales, where we share the various successes and trials we've encountered as we navigate corporate levels and political waters to transform the business to be adaptable to this forever changing world.
We're kicking off a new season of our Agile Tales with Natal Denk, a workplace, culture, and people development expert. She is a pioneer in the Agile HR movement and coaches clients across all industries, ranging from tech to nonprofits to global banks, to embrace an agile mindset in reinventing their people practices. In 2017, she co-founded the Agile HR Community and in 2020, co-authored the pioneering book, Agile in HR. We're happy to have her here as we embark on further exploring Agile in HR on our Agile Tales.
Hi, Natal. Thank you so much for agreeing to come onto our podcast, Our Agile Tales. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Now, before we dive into the topic, let's get to know you a little bit. How did you get started on your Agile journey? What was the problem you were trying to solve? What prompted you to experiment?
Well, there was two parts to that story. One was the problem of my own career journey, and the other one was the problem of how do I get closer to a human-centric way of doing human resources, which sounds a bit strange to even make that statement. But the first one was I had slightly lost my way in my career in human resources. I was by then working in a very senior role, looking after talent, but it had clearly become all about the process and not about the people anymore. And I went searching for something different. And in particular, I wanted to understand, well, how do you build a great place to work? And I thought possibly I needed to go and work in different industries and just, you know, just experience different types of workplaces. And one of my very first clients, because I decided to go solo as a consultant, which often people do at that sort of career crossroads. And I was very fortunate to work for a company that had been agile from the start. And I'd been invited in to help them evolve performance and reward for their agile part of the business, which was ultimately their tech area. This business was all about digital tech, you know. So then they were, as I said, they were agile from word go. They were a successful startup that were now big. And I did what every good HR consultant does. You know, I looked at the engagement survey, I interviewed people, and then I looked at what people wanted. And then I designed this amazing blueprint of what we should do. And I was cutting edge. I was removing ratings. I was doing all the cool stuff that people in agile circles all talk about. And quite rightly, my sponsors said, well, how do you know this is going to work? And I said, well, you know, best practice, use all these terms that for them were negative terms. So that was for the first time for me to experience that. And yeah, I was encouraged to experiment and find the data. And they said, in this business, we test first, we get the data, and then we make changes based on the evidence. And that's what I needed to do. So that was my journey into the world of Agile, and in particular, connecting Agile with human resources, which of course I then went on and I'm a big advocate for and even wrote a book about.
Woohoo! Wow, that's quite a journey. It's interesting that you actually started when you go solo and you actually work for a company that is actually agile. That is quite a different story. So in your opinion, what does agile HR mean?
It ultimately means bringing in the agile mindset and ways of working into the HR profession. So agile itself is not new. Combining it with the role of human resources perhaps is, in the sense that it really challenges the traditional ways of working in that profession. But I think there's another layer to it, which is HR are so integral to the people strategy and ultimately the ways of working across an organization. And so by bringing in agile into human resources, you are looking at what are the ways of working, the operations, the processes, the behaviors, the way people connect, the way people engage, all of these things. What's performance, you know, what's feedback, all of these concepts. You start looking at, well, how do you do it in a way that supports business agility. So for me, there's sort of two layers. One is, what does it mean when you take it into the way that HR work as teams? And we're very similar to lots of other parts of the business where it breaks down our functional silos. It means that we work more multi-skilled. It means that we go after business problems to solve rather than topics. You know, like HR is traditionally, we go and release something about well-being, or we go and release something about performance, and it's not necessarily evidence-based or linked to direct direct problem. It's that it's a great new solution and let's go and release it. So it's changing the way HR works. But what HR is also doing is building, I suppose, the capabilities and the processes that enable business agility at the same time. So there's sort of two parts of it.
So you mentioned what HR needs to do or change the ways it is doing. And you said there's two parts of business agility. I'm curious, what do you mean by business agility?
Question. I think that for me, there's some, I suppose, business agility can look and feel different depending on what the organization is and what the context is. But I think there's some core principles, which is there's a greater flexibility and adaptability in how you can build teams, scale teams up and down that are directly related to the customer need or in the product that you're delivering. And there's also a sense of how do you build multi-skilled, multifunctional ways of working across that organization so you can be much more end-to-end in that delivery of value through to that end customer and through that product. Now, that looks and feels different depending on where you are. So if you're a big bank and you've worked in very traditional, hierarchical, quite bureaucratic ways in the past, then business agility often means undoing some of that legacy. And, you know, you hear all about this transforming ways of working and literally undoing a lot of the processes that exist and trying to build that adaptability and agility into the ways of working. If you're an organization that's perhaps started from that point, then you're growing as an organization in the more networked way from the beginning. So if what it looks like and plays and is represented as in the market, I think can be very different, but there's some core principles. And a lot of it is around, if you then link it back to the agile mindset, it's around concepts of value. How do you define value? How do you determine value ideally to the customer? But these days, I also bring in elements such as the planet and society and the employees. And how are you building a purpose around that value? And then using agile ways of working to iterate your delivery of value over a period of time. So you're, you know, and so there's concepts of building something small or in a minimal viable product before you fully release. There's testing, there's working evidence-based. So there's all these core principles that are wrapped up in the sort of the agile manifesto and values that play out across that organization.
Then now I'm curious. So what value is HR supposed to deliver?
Good one. I think it's multi-layered, and it's something that when I work with HR practitioners, they get a bit stuck with to begin with, because first and foremost, it's employees. But if you think about the employee, similar to customers, there's different types and different persona groups. So it's how do you, you know, just like a customer maybe buying a digital product, how do you personalize that? How do you engage different types of people in your product? So there's the employee, but the big thing about the role of HR, I always talk about, we need to understand the flow of value. So by helping people be great in their job, we help this flow of value go through the business to the business bottom line. And ultimately, the idea is to the end customer. So whoever is buying the products and services or using the services of the community, depending on what the organization is. So it's this flow. And so if you do something for the employee, yes, it should benefit them, but it shouldn't then all get in the way perhaps of delivering that end customer value, or it should join up. So if, you know, if you're helping the well-being of an employee, or you're helping them talk about performance or give feedback to each other, or perhaps something more traditional like pay and reward and benefits, or even dealing with a grievance, the idea is that it's all because you're helping this person be more productive and contributing to that business bottom line delivery. I would just say that more recently, I've been bringing in other elements, which is, and this is, I think, something for agile community to think about it more generally, is how do we start defining that end customer to include things like the planet and the good of community, because we need to understand where our products go and what happens to them and how they're disposed and how does it keep, you know, and how does it contribute to the climate emergency. So there's multi layers to it. And I think that's fine. It's about being comfortable with the complexity of it all and the kind of the different layers of value and customer.
You mentioned end customer, and Agile is very much saying that we need to focus on the end customer. You mentioned earlier that, you know, Agile focuses to deliver value to the employees. Are employees the end customer for Agile? I know. You also mentioned that you were trying to get the Agile community to focus on the bigger things, which is really the planet. But before the planet, it is still a business. So I'm curious, shouldn't the end customer be the business customer instead of an internal customer? Because employees are internal customers. What are your thoughts?
So your question is, should HR replace the end customer with employees? Is that their end customer? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, should the business customers be the end customer for HR instead of the employees?
So similar to what I was saying before, what I was sort of getting at is that the most immediate customer and your main target group, I suppose, is our employees. And how do you, like you would track an end customer, how are you tracking their engagement with what you've released, the usability of it? Does it help them get the job done? But I don't think you can't ever isolate that totally from the role that that employee plays in doing their job and delivering through to the end customer. And actually, you need to take it into account, because there often can be solutions that, and this is the viability and feasibility of a solution, isn't it? So you can't create in a bubble. So if you create something that employees love and they think it's the best in the world, that's great. But does it help them get the job done as well? And is it still contributing through to what the business is trying to achieve? So I think there's that double thing. But what you should be focusing on is it human-centric? Is it user-friendly? Is it something that people really want to use and engage? And does it help them do whatever their job is, which might be coding, it might be design, it might be marketing, it might be finance? The two go hand in hand. And the flip is, you shouldn't just design it to benefit the business as well, because that doesn't engage your employee. But if you just design it for the employee, you might have missed that it gets in the way of operations, things like that.
Thank you. This is brilliant. It is, I was actually going to ask you, because that's usually the impression that people have about HR, is that HR, human resources, they represent the business interests, they represent the company's interests, even though for people who first join, or if they are relatively junior, have less work experience, they would expect that the terminology, you know, human resource, is supposed to represent employees' interests. But then, you know, they would quickly find out that that's not the case. So how does Agile change this perception of how HR actually does, what HR actually represents, or what HR actually focuses on?
So again, there's several layers to that. I think that the movement within HR to become more human-centric and people-friendly had been developing for some time. And if we think about why HR has that sort of legacy, is that there is a connection between HR representing traditional processes and policies of organizations that still have quite a post-industrial, post-World War II, Taylorist kind of approach and structure, that kind of top-down, you know, people are numbers, they're part of the finance figures, they're headcounts, they're not people. So there is that tradition that's come through what is often called human capital or human capital management. And that's come through the kind of the history of HR. A lot of people that work in HR don't come from that necessarily point of view. You know, the whole, when I found myself in human resources, I was there because I had come through a kind of coaching learning background. I did work in finance, but I realized I was much more into people than numbers. And so then a lot of people in HR for quite a while had been saying, well, it needs to be more than just the process. I think what Agile offers HR is methods to go and make that happen. And there's fundamental principles of Agile, which is about the value of humans, about the value of all the skills in the team to get the job done, of self-organization, of actually no manager as such, you know, different roles that create accountability with each other. It's a feedback loop that works for the design of the product and service, but also works for the team to continually develop and evolve. So there's all these practices and methods that are all based on these similar principles of how do you build a more human way of working and therefore a more human approach. So by HR taking those methods in, they can apply them to build solutions that are more human-centric, but also it allows them, it's about essentially espousing these values in the way that they work. So it's kind of, again, multi-layered. So I think that's how the two come together. I think it's good to appreciate the context in which this is happening. So if you think about agile concepts and design thinking and it coming into the customer experience, so that's been evolving how we've been delivering customer solutions for a number of years now. All of that is going into the world of HR and feeding into what we now call employee experience. So there's now this much better understanding of, well, what is the journey and the experience that people go through in their career or a day in the life of, or at their time at an organization? What are the moments that matter in that experience? How do you understand them better? How do you design for solving pain points and problems? So a lot of these concepts that I think perhaps are even bigger than Agile itself, but are in how we are building products, are coming into HR and influence how we build workplaces. So I would say human-centric design is just as important as maybe Agile values in evolving HR's ways of working. Yeah.
So when embracing the Agile ways of working and human-centric design, are there changes in the role of HR?
Yeah, definitely. I'm not sure how much our listeners know about the history of HR, but we've, as a profession and as a function, we've had some set models of how we worked. The first one is we have a model that's called the Ulrich model that was sort of the standard operating model that HR would have. And this is your HR business partners, which were considered the contact to the business, meant to be strategic. Then you had what was called a center of expertise. And these were people that were considered specialists, as specialists in things like learning, design, rewards, you know, pay and benefits, even talent development, leadership, all of that. But traditionally, they would sit separately to the people that were then consulting into the business. And then you would have kind of your HR services. So this is more your kind of help desk, your policies, your everyday needs. This model, you know, there was some dangers with this model because it meant that so many solutions were created away from the customer or the employee, you know, the users, and then released out onto the business without this co-creation or testing. We often hear about HR working in their ivory tower. Performance management is often the best example. They release a big whole way of doing performance management across the business and it fails miserably. And it's all based on a set system that's been bought. And it's not until, you know, 6 months later that you realize what's wrong and what doesn't work. The whole thing hasn't been built in this iterative testing and data-driven way that Agile advocates. So the model of how we worked up until now meant that we were delivering solutions in a very waterfall top-down way. If you then combine that with some of the legacy of processes and systems in organizations that were more traditional top-down and bureaucratic, it was a bad mix. So Agile fundamentally changes, it has to change the way that HR works. So you start to see not just new roles, but you see a whole change in the operating model. And the main one that's coming out is very similar to business customer product design. So you've got one area which is called something like product design or employee experience, people experience, and it's sort of end-to-end design and delivery of new solutions that are fixing problems based on, you know, what's the prioritized problem to solve as opposed to topics. And so for example, how do we build a hybrid workplace that's inclusive for everyone as opposed to just focusing on the topic of well-being or digital tools? It's more kind of all-encompassing end-to-end. Generally, you've got a kind of data insights, kind of portfolio management strategy type team. And then you've got what we're starting to essentially is almost DevOps, you know, so it's your services and operations area of HR that maintain all the platforms that are maybe your first point of call for help doing, you know, contracts and policies and things like that, sort of making the employee experience run day in, day out. And the thing about that is that it's much more about how do you contribute it to that holistic employee experience throughout the organization and all the products and services that makes that up, as opposed to just looking after one part of it, which is what it used to be like.
So, wow. Actually,
I've got one more thing to add to that. Can I add one more thing? So the other thing I didn't talk about with the Ulrich model and sort of how we worked in HR is that up until now, we're often single topic owners. So you'll meet people that are the head of learning or the head of recruitment or talent or reward. And we are led to believe that that is what you should be, this kind of specialist in one domain. And the danger is that we all lead our own project. So whenever, you know, I looked after teams, I would be looking after, say, leadership, but myself and my team alone couldn't solve all the problems of leadership. And often problems of leadership link to reward and recruitment and other topics. So we were constantly running all these projects, trying to get other people to contribute, where actually this is saying, no, well, what is the problem? And now let's all come together and use our different expertise to solve that problem together, as opposed to single topic owners. So that's also the big change.
So basically you're saying to morph HR to be more like a product organization, delivering customer value, looking at a customer value as a whole, which would include a variety of topics and domains, because you need to all come together to actually deliver that piece of customer value. So that's what you were saying, that basically you are changing the entire organization. Wow.
Totally. So seeing your organization as the series of products and services that you're delivering out to support it, and thinking about your portfolio, thinking about your different customer needs and prioritize it, you know, and thinking also about what you're delivering. So when you deliver something, what happens to it? How does it need to be maintained? Is it digital or is it manual? Does it add to people's workload? You know, what does that look like? So very similar to how we should be considering our, you know, products and services as a business to that end customer, definitely. So I always talk about T-shaped people and T-shaped teams. The T-shape, actually, you know, the concept comes from Agile. HR people love it, because HR, we grew up thinking that we had to be either a generalist, which is your traditionally like HR business partner, or a specialist, which is you do learning and development or diversity, equity, inclusion. But T-shape says, well, you actually do both. And you actually need to be a good generalist that can move across a range of general capabilities. I would say all HR professionals need to know a decent level of data analysis, a decent level of change management, a decent level of communication. Of course, I will put agile ways of working and design thinking in there. And then depending on your background, your interests, your studies, you go deep in different areas. So, you know, I actually come from a background of learning and development. So I can, you know, that's where I can add a lot of value to a project, as well as I can navigate across other topics. I'm not a reward specialist. I would always work with a reward specialist, but I can definitely speak to the topic and I know a lot about it. So this is this, how do you build a T-shaped team within HR to deliver against these projects?
So then how do you upskill HR? I mean, in their agile HR skills, in their digital skills, net zero skills, sustainability, ESG, which you talk about. So how would you upskill HR to be more of a T-shape?
Well, they come and spend time with me. And they do our programs. There's a range. So there's a big debate in my profession at the moment around where do people go to build this capability, because what's needed in the role of HR is rapidly changing. And there's a lot of evidence. You know, I've just been talking about this topic with other HR leaders, and you know, with one HR, she was leading a team called Employee Experience, and her recent hires, one came from marketing background, one came from a data analytics background, one came from a product design background, and I think only two others actually came from a more traditional HR background. So there's sourcing beyond HR, which I think is very healthy. And then of course, if you put them together, there's how do you learn from each other and start to build up these skills that might be missing within the team, or not as, you know, if there's only one person with design skills, how do you then build that across the team? So definitely that. But more and more, I would say that while some of the more traditional HR bodies and universities, I think, haven't quite updated yet, we're seeing more and more programs available for at least, say, data analytics. So people analytics, at least, you know, you're definitely seeing a lot more design thinking for HR out there. It might not be by some of the traditional providers, but you're seeing like IDEO and you're seeing Stanford University start to do this for HR. So it's starting to change. It's out there. It's a mixture of accessing it through programs, but, you know, as we all know, learning on the job and applying in real time is one of the big things. I think what the most important thing, if I compare the different HR teams I work with, having a HR leader or a people leader that understands this, sees the opportunities and either helps people develop these skills or actively brings in people to co-develop and co-create. That's what's needed. There's a lot of teams that don't have that and they're probably far behind.
We've reached the end of this episode. Thank you for spending some time with us today with Natal Denk. We'll see you next time as we continue our discussions on Agile in HR here on our Agile Tales.
Thank you so much for listening to our Agile Tales. Feel free to ping us on ouragiletales.com.